experience.
There's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today.
For the Empowerment Hour here on Praise 107.9, presented by the Jacksonville Urban League and First Thursday Jacksonville. And now, here's your host, Dr. Richard Danforth of the Jacksonville Urban League and Larry Williams of First Thursday Jacksonville.
All right. Good morning. Welcome to the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I am your co-host, Jarman Lightner, in the studio with Dr. Richard Danford of the Urban League. And we'll have our guest joining us on the line in just a moment, Larry Williams. He's traveling, so we're trying to get our technical difficulties worked out this morning.
Good morning, Jacksonville.
Hello. Boy.
Oh, there we are.
Hey, Larry.
It's Vix. Hey, we hear you. Good morning.
Oh, okay. You're whispering, so somebody's there.
Yes, we're here. We can hear you. You're live on the air.
Okay.
Okay. Can you hear us?
Yeah. Well. Oh. What? Boy, it's been an interesting week in Jacksonville.
Yes, there's a lot going on the state level and national level as well. So, where do you want to start, Dr. Danford?
Well, I guess we'll start with the homicide tracker. I mean, why change, right? Well, but on a serious note, just want to recap from last year the numbers. And, of course, we read about them quite a bit in the newspaper. But in 2018, this past year, we ended the year with 126 murders. Mm-hmm. And, of course, while that is a large, large number, it happens to be 10 or 11 less than we had in 2017. Mm-hmm. So I guess you would say that crime, that murders are down, which they are from the previous year, but 126 murders is unacceptable. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we know it's in the paper this morning that Duval County has the highest murder rate and the highest violent crime rate among Florida's 20 most populous counties.
Right. And that includes Miami. That's one of the
wherever they are, probably Tampa,
St. Highly populated counties, yeah. And Duval is number one.
Duval is number one. So hopefully we are on a, with the election and all, everything now is going to focus on crime. It seems to be the major issue.
Okay.
Impacting and
so what do you see happening with the crime prevention? I know there's a task force, and like you said, we have an election that's coming up for mayor and for city council members. So what do you foresee with the crime prevention?
Well, it's the task force has not met.
Okay. It's just been developed.
Right. The crime and the task force is I guess we will meet sometime here in January or early February. But all eyes have been on whether Anna Broche would file for election.
Yes, we talked about that last
week. That's the buzz. And, of course, yesterday was the deadline to file. So we have everyone that's going to run for anything. If they didn't file yesterday, it's all over. So it's just talk.
All right. So Anna Broche's hat's in the ring for for mayor.
She's running. She's going to challenge our current mayor, Curry. And
there are two more people that are on the ballot as well, Jimmy Hill and Omega Allen.
So, oh, okay.
Yeah, they're running for mayor.
Well, but I would think that Broche and Curry would be the ones in the fight, because as it says here in the paper, Curry has $3.2 million, and of course we know that the last two weeks, a lot of that has gone toward this ad.
Oh. The campaign ad.
Is that a Jeopardy type?
Yes, that was the theme for the ad that's been put out on to fire Anna Broche. It's a Jeopardy theme.
Yes. Yeah,
is Larry? Larry, are you there?
Hey, good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now. Good morning.
Good morning. Happy Saturday, everybody. I see we're still having our technical difficulties and so forth. I hope we've gotten it straightened out by now. Good morning, Dr. Danford and Jarman and Steve in the background. Everything that sounds like I missed a lot of what you all were talking about in the first segment there, but the last thing I was heard was about the mayoral election with former council president Anna Lopez Broche joining the mayoral race, and that's a good thing. You know, no one needs to be running unopposed, and I see we now see why the mayor was attacking with this advertising pack Anna Broche in the Jeopardy quote-unquote Jeopardy ads. So it's interesting. The election season is heating up, and there's quite a few challengers for different council positions, and also I believe the sheriff is running again also. And you know, the brief things that I did here was about the crime situation, and I think when we look at what's going on in Jacksonville, you know, there needs to be some work done in the area of crime prevention.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't, you know, as excuse me, doing this last 3 or 4 years that you know this administration has been in power, the crime rate has risen. So, you know, we need to pay better attention to what's going on, especially in the urban areas. So it's important that, you know, we get out, vote for people who are going to be looking at our best interest.
Well, Larry, I don't understand. We've hired all of these new police officers. Probably 147 new police officers, and we have the new technology. We have the shot spotter.
Yes.
And we have other new techniques for dealing with crime. What's really troubling with all of the murders is the small number of, trying to resolve the murder itself, you know, trying to find the culprit. So many of these murders go
unsolved.
Unsolved, right. You know, for years and years. And of course, yeah. But speaking of crime, you know, I see where the Groveland 4 granted pardons after 70 years. And these were, these were 4 African American men that were accused of raping a white woman,
mm-hmm,
in 1949. So they railroaded them, and so after 70 years, the governor, one of the first things in office,
DeSantis.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Governor DeSantis now has
pardoned.
Yeah,
yes.
He has pardoned those, and of course, I see, since we're talking about this, I see that the Senate, the U.S. Senate, passed a lynching, an anti-lynching bill, which will make it illegal to lynch
That bill was passed? When was that bill passed?
The Senate passed.
The Senate, okay.
The Senate passed it. So, of course, the full...
So it's illegal to lynch?
It would be illegal to lynch.
Wait, I didn't know it was still legal to lynch.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that are still legal. Oh. We just don't do them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Knowingly.
And the reason is because of the high profileness of lynching. But, you know, that didn't stop people in the past. And they found other ways to lynch people. There's high-tech lynching now, so you don't need to actually put the rope around their neck. You can
just, wait a minute. What's a high-tech lynching?
Well, I didn't understand. I asked you off the air, Dr. Danford. I said, well, what was, you know, after 70 years, and maybe for some of our listeners that need this clarified, mm-hmm. for the Groveland Four who were accused of raping the young white girl, they're pardoned after 70 years, but they're deceased. So what is the purpose of the pardon?
Well, it helps their families.
Okay.
You know, they can put it to bed now that loved ones were falsely accused.
Okay.
And so it impacted many.
But not only were they falsely accused, but they were incarcerated.
Yes.
Yes.
And you can't take that back. I mean, the pardon is well and fine. But, you know, if they had done their job in the first place, they wouldn't have been in prison.
Well, one out of the four did not make it to prison. They found him and killed him. So only three of them were imprisoned and were pardoned.
Yeah. And you know, again, it goes back to the crime deal. And especially, you know, in what we're talking about is in Jacksonville and Florida. So, you know, we have to, I think Jacksonville had one of the highest crime rates in the entire state and murder rates. So,
right.
You know, we need to get, we got to do better. And I'm all for the task force, Dr. Danford, I think I understand that the task force hasn't met, which is well and fine, but you know, at the same time, there are things that the sheriff and this administration can be doing, you know, to put some positive crime prevention measures in place, and I don't think they've done it.
Hmm. Right, so the focus should be more on crime prevention, as we have talked about.
Well, I guess...
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're getting close to a break here, but maybe when we come back, we can talk about the federal shutdown.
Yes, it's
good. Yeah, we can talk about the federal shutdown. That's good. So, you know, we want to thank our listeners and for being patient with us on doing our technical difficulties last week as well. And we also invite you to call in if you're interested in chiming in on the conversation about the any of the election things that are going on at 904-296-2251. 904-296-2251. And let us know what you're thinking. This is going to be between now and March, it's going to be quite contentious.
Contentious.
You think is that the term we need to use? Contentious.
For the first quarter of 2019, you said it's going to be quite contentious. So, well, you know, in spite of that, you know, if you're in Christ Jesus, you have the victory. And we're going to hear a song titled Victory. In just a moment when we take our music break. Again, we thank our listeners for tuning in to the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9.
Here to encourage you to walk into your new season, a season of freedom and a season of victory. Here it is. By the hand of the Almighty, I've been set free, healed, delivered, made complete. Now I'm walking in victory. Adrian, won't you help me sing it? By the hand of the Almighty, I've been set free, healed, delivered, made complete. Now I'm walking in victory.
We're gonna sing that again.
By the hand of the Almighty, oh. I think you got it now. Come on, lift it up. By the hand, I've been set free. Oh, now I'm walking in victory. Oh, said I'm walking in victory. Said I'm walking in victory. Walking in victory. You're my joy, baby. walking in victory. I'm walking in victory. I get my joy back.
Yes, we are walking in victory, and we are back on the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9. I'm Jarmin Lightner, your co-host in the studio with Dr. Richard Danford, and joining us on the line is our other co-host traveling on the West Coast. That's Larry Williams, and we are back. And Dr. Danford, we were talking a little bit about what's going on the state and national level, so we're going to go ahead and go into this federal shutdown that seems to be continuing and there's really no no resolve, I guess, yet. You know, we're still continuing with this.
Well, I guess yesterday the federal employees impacted by this shutdown did not get a check and did not get their wages deposited into mm-hmm. their accounts. Mm-hmm. And what happens with many people, they have their bills timed according to when their check drops in the bank. And so if this continues, obviously people will have difficult times if they can't make those payments or they get those bounced checks. That's going to impact their credit. So, you know, for those, and I know it's tough, you know, we're not a saving country. You know, the average person mm-hmm. does not save, but you know, we've got to encourage everyone that instead of spending all your money, you've got to put a few pennies aside so when there's a situation, mm-hmm. you can handle it. You right. know, it's easy. Well, it's easy to say that. I recognize that. It's easy yeah. to say it, but yes, we need some. Just some financial help. You know, people that are in. You know, that are, and especially working for the government, certainly not getting their checks. They, you know, we have organizations that can provide financial assistance well, in terms some, of yeah. counseling, not well, necessarily the money, but counseling to get us to change our behavior as we view money.
Okay. Well, some of the furloughed. Federal employees and some of the government contractors are eligible for state unemployment, but many of the essential federal workers and their furlough, they are not eligible.
But it takes time to get a to get a unemployment check. Okay.
No, you can file and let me chime in a little bit because here in I'm up in Washington and the folks here have the small businesses and the banks and the what they call the Employment Security, who handles unemployment. If you sign up for your unemployment, you can have a check in 2 weeks. Okay, they hold back a week, and then the next week you get paid. But some of the banks and financial institutions, as well as other employers in the state, are stepping up and offering jobs to those folks who are laid off, and providing opportunities right away. They had a job fair yesterday where they were hiring people on the spot. And also, banks are giving providing loans to folks on, I think, up to, 30 months to repay loans, no matter what the size of the loan. So, wow. You know, people, we need to find creative ways to help these people who are being, you know, who are caught in this bind with this showdown, and we call it a shutdown. It's a showdown between the between the Democrats and the Republican administration about a wall, you know, and to talk about a wall being built that was promised that, you know, the Mexico was going to pay for, somebody else is going to pay for, and now it's we want the taxpayers to pay for it. So we need to get a move on with that and put it to bed so that these people aren't having to suffer. And we talked about, you know, living paycheck to paycheck, but that's a fact of life for a lot of people because of the amount of money they make. It's not about saving. It's about, you know, what you're able to take in and provide for your family.
Yeah, well, we're talking, I know we're concentrating on the federal employees, and, you know, this is just ridiculous what is happening. But when you think about the fact that all the large numbers of individuals that are not working, okay,
mm-hmm.
not expecting a check, and know that a check will not arrive.
Right, and not only, and you know, we said the federal employees, but you know, a lot of federal employees are minorities, and I think it's a huge percentage of it. I don't have the exact percentage, but you know, but anyways, you're talking about 800,000 people across the country. That has a trickle down effect on the economy as well, because those folks spend money in small businesses and other areas where it's going to start. Businesses are going to start to feel that you know, that deficit, and so we need to just get it resolved. This is the longest shutdown in the history of the United States.
And Larry, just based on what's been going on this week in the news, it appears as though it's going to continue and may lead into a national state of emergency. Isn't that correct?
Well, I think it's already a state of emergency.
Well, I guess officially, maybe he can issue that, and the president can issue that and be able to access those funds, from my understanding.
Well, look, but isn't that you know, something, you know, he can declare a state of national emergency, take the funds from the military and build a wall, but there's not a state of emergency to get these people back to work and getting paid.
And well, Rick Scott did comment that the Congress shouldn't be paid during the government shutdown, and I believe he waived his salary during the shutdown as well.
Oh well, he has enough to waive. I mean, you know, after 8 years in Florida, and I mean, I don't think that he's worried about a check from Congress.
No, and none of those people in Congress are worried about a check, and neither are the administration people. And I guarantee you, if their checks were affected, this shutdown would end tonight.
Okay, so well, we know that we talked about voting, you know, coming up for mayor and the council members, and we know that the ex-felons' rights were restored, and that was on the 8th where they were able to go register to vote. So thousands turned
believe they registered to vote.
They filled out the forms.
They filled out.
That's the registration part. Okay, that's part one.
But yes, there's no guarantee that that form will be approved.
Correct. That's where we are.
I mean, there's something up top that's dangling. I've been told that there's not a fast track to get these folk registered because it could impact the upcoming election. I don't know. Absolutely. I don't know how many people, once they get their rights back, would run out and vote. I just don't know.
Well, I would think they majority. Think so? Well, if they ran out to register, I would think that they would exercise their right to vote. So doesn't look like they will have that right if it's not approved by the Florida Secretary of State to allow them to vote.
There's a lot in play here with that deal, and both of you touched on some of it, and I think when Doc said that there's no urgency on the part of the elected officials here to make this happen. There's definitely not an urgency because it could affect the upcoming election in March, especially here in Jacksonville. So it's going to be important. But we need to. I haven't seen anything in the local newspapers or the investigative reporters in Jacksonville. I haven't seen anything talking about this . You know, I want to know and challenge some of these folks who get paid to do this research to go out and do some stories on how and when these folks are going to be, first of all, once the process has started. It started on January 8th, so we should be getting some response from the superintendent of elections and the secretary of state. They need to find out what's going on there so that these folks can not only just go in and fill out the applications or whatever they need to do, but how it's going to, how the process is going, what's happening with it, and are these folks going to have an opportunity to exercise their right to vote that's been restored by the voters?
There is a very, very long backlog of former people who had their rights, who couldn't vote. But I don't want to continue to call them felons. They're just human beings, that made a mistake and they served their time or whatever, and so they need their rights restored. I don't know.
Absolutely.
It's just inhumane. To hold this over people's heads, once they've done the right thing. I mean, people do crazy stuff, but they should be forgiven, and we shouldn't look at them as a negative individual just because they serve time.
You know,
I've got friends right now sitting in prison.
Really?
Okay, and I'm they're good people. They made a mistake. In America, you're supposed to be not necessarily forgiven, but you shouldn't have to carry that with you the rest of your life, especially when it when it impacts certain groups of people more so than others. There's a lot of disparate treatment as it relates to
and their vote could have a positive impact. So
and that's probably why they don't want them registered. Because it will have a positive impact, and it might not be the impact that the powers that be want to have. And so it's important that the folks that are controlling the elections, voting sign-ups, do your job. That's all we're asking. Process the folks, get them on the rolls, as Doc said. They've served their time, so now they're back, and this is the will of the people. This is not someone just walking up and saying, "Hey, that should be restored." It's already been the laws have been passed. The people have spoken. So do your job.
Yes, and allow them to become registered. So we're still, I guess, waiting for the answers to whether those rights will be restored. But we want to encourage any ex-felons to continue to register to vote. You know, go in, submit your applications, and we just have to wait and see what happens. So, again, you can call in at 296-2251 if you want to chime in on the conversation. And we're going to take a music break and listen to I'm Getting Ready. And this is the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9.
Eyes haven't seen, and ears haven't heard, the kind of blessings, the kind of blessings that's about to fall on me. Victory is here. Kick defeat out the door. God's doing a new thing. Yeah. Get ready for overflow. 'Cause I'm getting ready.
Vibes maneuver the jet ski, 'cause I serve a God that parted the Red Sea. Multi-million dollar commercials for Pepsi, from food stamps to more ice than Gretzky. I don't gotta talk, the Lord defends me. I watch them all fall for going against me, 'cause me and all my angels shot the devil up. While you was trying to pull me down, I leveled up. I leveled up twice, I leveled up three times. He tapped them and told them she's mine. So even when I cried, I knew I'd be fine. Prepared for a miracle blessing in these times. I praise them, raise them, name it, claim it. Every tongue that rises up against me, shame it. I breathe success in and out my lungs. Got the power of life and death coming out my tongue.
All right, welcome back to the Empowerment Hour. I am Jarmin Leitner, your co-host, in the studio with Dr. Richard Danford. And joining us on the line is Larry Williams. And we are back from our music break as we are getting ready. You know, we got to get ready for something, expectation for something great, Dr. Danford, right? Are you expecting it?
Of course. This is 2019.
We got to expect greatness.
And it feels like 1919 at some point. Yeah. But you know, guys, seriously, Next Friday, the 18th starts the, annual celebration of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday, and there's lots of events all across the country going on and recognizing and saluting and celebrating Dr. King. And, we want to make sure that as we do these celebrations and things, understand that Dr. King's motivation for a lot of his work was about economic parity for, people of color and poor people. And, that's what he died for, really. That's why he was murdered, assassinated, whatever you want to say. And it's not all this kumbaya about, one day we're going to be together. It's about economic parity and vitality of equalness. And I understand that the civil rights organizations there in Jacksonville are going to have their breakfast, historical breakfast, really, on next Friday. Dr. Danford, tell us a little bit about what's going on with that and who's participating and kind of why.
Well, this is the first year that we've had multiple MLK breakfasts. We've had historically the last 31 years, we've had a breakfast that included the city of Jacksonville, the Chamber of Commerce, the SCLC, the Jacksonville branch of the NAACP, and of course the Urban League. And, recently, the last couple or so years, those major organizations have been excluded from participation in the breakfast. So a decision was made this year early on. As a matter of fact, the decision was made about 7 months ago, and of course, these organizations sent a letter to Mayor Curry indicating that we would be hosting the 32nd breakfast, and we reached out to the mayor's office to encourage the city to participate with us. And, of course, we never heard anything about
crickets,
that.
Huh?
What's that?
I said you heard crickets, huh?
Yeah, well... So, we've got to get around. This breakfast that the civil rights organizations have planned, and we look forward to a nice crowd. We have a very good speaker coming in, Dr. Frederick D. Haynes, that is the third. He's the senior pastor of Friendship West Baptist Church from Dallas, Texas. So okay. He's a dynamic young minister, national appeal, and so we will have out the 32nd annual MLK breakfast at the Lexington Hotel Conference Center over on Prudential, and it will occur this Friday morning.
Okay, it's 7:30 from 7:30 to 9:30 a.m.
We'll get out of there about 9:30 in the morning. So,
okay, and I also understand that it might be broadcast live from the breakfast.
Well, we'll have some live stream, certainly not the entire program, but certain elements of it. We're hoping that we can do that such that, the community can participate if they are unable to purchase a ticket. Tickets are
right.
Still available for the breakfast, $40, and you can call.
How do people get the tickets?
Well, they can call the NAACP at 764-1753, or they can call the Urban League at 723-4009. And then, of course, the SCLC has a number, 778-8927. So,
okay.
we have enough activities for everybody. We don't all have to sit up together and sing We Shall Overcome, and especially leaving these breakfasts and not doing anything. Mm-hmm. You know,
absolutely.
If you think about
what's the theme? Do you have a?
Think about the theme is what Martin Luther King espoused. You know, during the time of his untimely death. I mean, he was talking about economic empowerment.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Which is, you know, and we have data. Matter of fact, we're looking at an article here. In the paper, it says that Black America is no better off than 50 years ago. Well, you know, some people are. You can't
just
say that
general across the
right.
Well, I think they're talking about as a whole.
They're talking about as a whole, and this is the Race and Social Policy Research Center. So they've researched this, and there are a lot of things that go into determining whether people are better off, but. You know, I'm here the first one to admit that for many of us, things are better than they were 50 years ago. But when you talk about, you know, all people, as you know, basically as a whole, there's still so many disparities. There's so much unemployment. There's so, you know, continuing, even though we're in an economy where employment, where there are many opportunities, but people may not have the skill sets necessary, you know, for these jobs. And, of course, many of them, you know, starting at, $7-$8 an hour.
Yes, that's the
And that's one of the deals. That's part of the deal. It's across the board. When you're talking about a booming economy, that means that the cost of living is higher.
Right.
But the wages haven't been necessarily adjusted for people on the lower echelon of the wage level to be competitive with their need for, you know, the economic graces that have been provided by many. So we need to make, that's part of what Dr. King was doing, trying to level the playing field so that, you know, the disparity between the wealthy and the poor is adjusted so that folks can have livable wage jobs and so forth. And that's the thing that I see as far as the Martin Luther King celebration. That's what we should be talking about. We shouldn't sit in a breakfast and high five and all that type of stuff, and then at the end of the deal we go back to you know, everyday things. We got to talk about plans, something to put together so that this economic disparity is the field is level some.
And you're absolutely correct, Larry. And we will do that. We've started a process in our community that's affected by crime and unemployment and food deserts, and it just seems that all of the negative stuff happens in certain communities. You know, Jacksonville is just, there's so much potential here, and we just can't seem to get on track. I don't know if it's just that we're too selfish in terms of how we look at the cities and others' resources, you know, whether you have some kind of equality of opportunity, which is likened. So organizations like the Urban League and NAACP and all of us that are struggling and advocating for people that are underserved, you know, we're attempting to empower people and put them in a position where they can start solving their own problems. You know, we can't continue to look at City Hall and others and the government, you know, to solve the problem. So let's, the community, let's come together around some opportunities that exist in these communities, and let's support them. And let's get about the business of doing something to reduce crime. We can help reduce crime ourselves if we put our minds to it. We shouldn't expect the police job is to investigate incidents of crime. Okay, mm-hmm. They're not really paid to prevent crime. I mean, when you think about it,
mm-hmm.
Their job is to enforce the laws of this country. So,
well, that's interesting. Maybe that's something that should be added for the police to have some training for crime prevention.
Well, I think that's part of the deal. I think their job is to protect and serve, but also when you have resources that can be dedicated to crime prevention, those resources should be dedicated to those communities that are in the most need. In policing areas, instead of responding to crime, policing those areas is a good step in the right direction. And, you know, most of the time we see the police after the effect, after the incidents have occurred. In other areas, they're seen quite frequently. And I'll tell you what, when police are present, the crime rates are reduced. So, there are ways that the police can affect crime.
Well, we were talking about empowerment economically, and we are getting ready to take our next music break. But when we come back, we will be in our entrepreneur corner. So our small businesses have an opportunity to let the listeners know what their services and products are. This is a chance for you to be empowered as a small business owner and take advantage of no cost marketing so that you can potentially grow your business. So again, in the next segment,
Jarman, and the lines are working, y'all. So call in.
Yes, 296-2251. And we'll be back on the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9.
Praise 107.9, the ultimate gospel experience. The ultimate gospel experience.
Right, we are back on the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9. I am Jarman Lightner, your co-host with Dr. Richard Danford and Larry Williams joining us on the line. And we are in our last segment of the show, which is our Entrepreneur Corner. And we are encouraging our listeners and small business owners to call in at 296-2251. Start the new year being a little more, aggressive with getting the word out about your business. So take advantage of this no-cost opportunity. And we do have one of our faithful listeners and callers, Michael, who has called in. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning. I want to wish you guys a happy new year.
Yes, happy new year.
What we got, Accentuate Boutique, every day is a sale. We got a great weekend sale this Saturday. Also, we'll be kicking off our Health and Fitness Corvette Car Show at the Jacksonville Landing. It's going to take place next Saturday, Martin Luther King weekend. We got some great door prizes. We're going to line the Jacksonville Landing up with Vet Masters. It's a black Corvette club. We got the Jacksonville Jaguars bringing a virtual vehicle, Blood Bank. It is going to be an awesome, awesome event. And we actually got a kid zone this year. Mm-hmm. And the event is absolutely free to the general public.
Okay, and what's that date and time again?
January the 19th, and it's going to take place from 11 to 3 o'clock p.m. I'm actually getting ready to take advantage of some radio spots with the radio station that you guys do your broadcast. So listen there. We're also going to film the event. An event is going to be aired the following week of CW17.
Okay, great. And that's at the Landing, correct?
At the Jacksonville Landing. So somebody from your team, especially Dr. Danford, if he's here in Jacksonville, talk to some of the guys who had a Corvette like you had back then.
They'll bring up those
Corvette
memories.
Hey, Michael, this is Larry. So you said the Jaguars have a virtual...
Yeah, I was going to ask that. A virtual vehicle? Is that what it is?
Yeah, Jaguars have a virtual vehicle. So what it is, you can sit inside, like, two small stadium seats. You get to look at some of the game. They got the spin wheel. It's a neat vehicle that they bring out to certain events.
Okay, and you also mentioned a kids zone. So it's going to be a family-friendly event as well?
I'm looking at Pediatric Associate, Pediatric Smiles. It's a black dentistry here in Jacksonville. Black young ladies on that. And then I got Aunt Diva Moe. She's a mascot. It's just going to be a fun event. Trust me, the people who miss it are going to say, wow, I didn't know that was taking place. So you definitely want to be in the midst of the who's who of Jacksonville. And I'm quite sure a lot of political figures are going to be coming through. So, Mr. Dan, forget... Dr. Dan, forget your wife to come, Councilman Joyce, to come out and shake some hands and connect with some business owners.
Well, I'll ask. You know, I don't run that. You know, folk call me, say, can you get your wife to do? I said, I don't have that kind of power.
What'd you say? Why you put it on this show?
So you can run it by her, right? That's all you can do.
That's all I can do. But Michael, how long are we going to be in the Landing? Have they come to a consensus as to what will happen to the Landing? Are we going to tear it down or redo it, or what's the word over there?
Personally, I think it was a sound bite by the mayor saying make it a park. It's still going through litigations with the mayor and Sliman Enterprises. I put on a jazz concert 2 months ago. 3,000 people showed up. So, I mean, it's the center of Jacksonville. If you tear it down, I think it's the wrong thing to do. Maybe remodel. I mean, it's still the infrastructure. Instead of having everybody go to the town center, bring some more retail shops, bring some more restaurants. It's more and more, I think it's 5 or 6 apartment complexes downtown. So we need something to do. And in closing, if you do that, when we had the Jazz Festival last year, we had a lot of tourists that came to the store to shop. So the future of downtown should be more tourism as well, and thinking of the future of the different hotels around the city, because we lose a lot of money because there's not enough activity to do downtown. And so instead of booking here, they go to Orlando.
Well, yeah, we don't really have a whole lot for people just to come to Jacksonville unless they want to go to the beach or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yes, true. Right. So we got to change the mindset to bring some more fresh new ideas.
Hold up, Mike. What's that, Larry?
It is, Michael. I hope the Jaguars virtual a vehicle is better than their virtual quarterback.
A virtual quarterback.
Wow.
Whoa, whoa.
Larry, that was a little
all
blow,
right,
man.
Okay, Michael, it's good talking to you. Okay, have a good. We'll see you Saturday at the Landing.
Thank you, Michael, for calling in.
All right, thanks.
Okay.
Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
All right, we do have another caller on the line. Another small business owner. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, let us know about your business.
Who is it?
Yes, my name is Felicity Heron. I am the owner and operating manager of North Florida Care Services here in Northeast Florida. We provide non-medical home care to individuals with disabilities.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And, mm-hmm. and we will be participating in the upcoming Dream Week activities. Dream Week is an event that's catered to people coming out discussing how they're living, launching, and pursuing their dreams.
Okay. And where is that taking place?
Well, Beaver Street Enterprise is the host location for it, mm-hmm. but events will be going on all around town. The first event was back in October. We had the kickoff, and my office is actually at Beaver Street Enterprise. And next week, we have another event coming up at WJCT Studios.
Okay.
It's a reception-type networking event, so we will also be a part of that event.
Okay, and the name of your business is, you said North Florida?
North Florida mm-hmm. Care Services.
Care yes. Services, and you provide non-medical home care
yes.
to the disabled and the elderly, or just, you know, is it children and adults included, or is it just a specific population?
All populations.
Is this a non-profit or a for-profit business?
We are for-profit.
All right.
Okay. And how can you know, our listeners reach you if they are looking for non-medical home care? Is there a phone number or a website?
Yes, my website is www.northfloridacareservices.com, or I can be reached at 904-413-2300. And again, my name is Felicity Heron.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Felicity, for calling in.
Thank you. You all have a great day. Bye-bye.
Right, yeah,
bye-bye.
Thanks for calling in. And you know, all of our got a small business. Take advantage of this opportunity and promote your business.
Yeah, we have another caller. Before we get to that caller, let me announce Hello. To our listeners that the Jacksonville Urban League and its partners were able to provide a loan, a very nice size loan.
Yes. for a small business, yes.
For a small business loan. So
yes.
So we're working with our colleagues down in Broward Urban League and to make that happen. So on another note, if small business owners are interested in seeing if they are qualified for loans, they should come get in touch with us. We have coaches available that can assist in making that happen. So this is a great day for us. You know, it's really difficult to get loans.
Yes.
You know, if you're a small business owner, and especially if you're going into business, it's really difficult. But the requirement is if you've been in business for at least 18 months, then you could possibly be eligible for this loan fund that we currently have.
All right. And we do have another caller on the line. Good morning, caller.
Good morning.
All right. Let us know about your business.
Happy New Year.
Oh, my family. Look, Sharon, we hadn't heard you in a minute. I didn't recognize your voice. Happy New Year. How are you?
I know I have been on a long hiatus from calling in, but
yes,
God
ma'am.
Is good. That is
yes,
why
he is.
We have been so busy at Two Saints Restaurant and Grill. How is everyone doing this morning?
Oh, we are
hungry.
Wonderful. Now that he's hungry now, he's thinking about food. We're doing
good,
great. Well,
good,
it's good to know that your business is growing, so that's wonderful.
And I want to tell you all thank you. You all have been a blessing to us. I say that all the time. Any type of exposure, at least when it's positive, usually it's good exposure. So I thank you for this opportunity to bring Two Saints Restaurant and Grill to your listening audience. Again, we're located at 8968 103rd Street. Upcoming, quickly, we have Night of Praise, which is our inspirational music night. It's coming up this coming Friday, January the 18th at 8 p.m. It's a complimentary event, free to worship, free to praise. Come out and listen to inspirational music. And on the very next day, on Saturday, January 19th, we have live jazz. Those two things have been on high demand, and so we are back at it in 2019. No croquettes yet. However,
well, it's time for you to go then. Well, we thank
I don't
you
do
for-
her like that. Let her finish.
Yeah, but we've just added grits and fish and grits to the
oh,
menu.
Oh, okay.